Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the discussions for women in leadership. We are here in the studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Hello, great to be here. Shortly to start this week's show in just a few minutes.
Good evening, and here we are in Studio G. Welcome to this week's show, focusing on Jesus Career Counselor, and the topic this week is release. We have with us this week in studio, everybody is here, not traveling on vacation or trying to start a school or figure out what we're doing in life, but with Lori Beth here. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
And Alisa Holster, representing the education pillar.
Welcome. We're happy to be here after a successful first day of school.
Ooh, big day today.
Big day.
And representing the business pillar, Vicky Arteaga.
Hello. It's great to be here.
We are excited that you have tuned in to the show to hear Lori Beth unpack for us what it means to find and keep your perfect work under the heading and title of release. Lori's been talking with us this week on her blog and Twitter about what it means to release. So this is bound to be a win topic, I'm afraid, this week.
Yay, so, my God, I need to win.
Exactly. So we are going to jump in with Lori Beth opening the show and just kind of sharing with us for just a few minutes how this word release came up for you in authoring this material, and then we'll all kind of jump in with our thoughts and comments this evening. So here's Lori Beth.
Well, in the pre-show, I want you all to know that I was harassed nonstop by this team for having so much material on release. Of course, being the wind, I seem to know it more, and I do think it's very important, and of course it is the most important thing that we can do, and winds are naturally gifted at it. I could go on and on, but evidently I did. So when you think about release, and I believe I talk about this in the chapter, that every high performer knows how to release. An athlete, the baseball pitcher releases the ball, the basketball shooter releases the ball, the soccer player releases the kick. It's all about release. That's where the score is. But so many people, in my experience and on teams that I've coached and worked with, that's the follow-through. They can't follow through with release. They can get right to the choke point and then pull back. And there's many reasons for that. I know that I used to choke when I was playing tennis. My father wanted me to be a professional tennis player because I'm certainly tall enough. And I would get to the district contest and I would come in second and I would blow it and I would choke and I realized that it was my way of maintaining control of my life because I did not want the future that my father saw for me. Mm-hmm. So as long as I took it as far as I could to keep him happy, but then when it got to the point, I did not release that final win because it was my way of keeping control of the situation. So we have a lot to talk about tonight about releasing. Jesus cursing the fig tree has always amazed me because he was so full of blessing. Why would he curse a fig tree? To me, it's because it refused to release the fruit. It was deliberately withholding something. And we see this in the workplace. We see this in relationships. We see this in leaders where there's a withhold of information, a withhold of delegation. So there's just a lot to talk about, and I know that everybody here has comments because we talked about this quite a bit in the pre-show. So, Shelley, let's start with you.
There was one particular comment in the section, Lori, where you talk about release and obedient action. And as you unpack what that means inside the context of that, of that heading, you say, I've decided that spiritual growth is never linear, but rather takes place in a spiral fashion. Can you unpack that for us tonight?
Well, if Earths and Fires like to think everything follows a line and a pattern, and we even think time itself is linear, today, tomorrow,
A
yesterday,
to Z, yeah.
A to Z. It's the way our mind thinks, but it's really limiting because it's really not the way God, it's not the only way that God moves. And in fact, I was on a walk the other day in San Diego and I was watching a palm tree. I was looking at this, the way a palm tree unfolds, and it's like an embryo, but it unfurls itself. It's beautiful to see. Well, it doesn't like go, okay, I'm going to go from little palm tree to big palm tree to whatever. Maybe it does in a linear fashion, but when you look at the seed itself, there's an unfurling, a spiraling inside. And the spiral is one of the most ancient, consistent symbols in civilization. So there's a deep psychological understanding that we have of the spiral, that life is not a straight line. It tends to be more evolutionary in terms of, you know, we grow in cycles. The seasons come in cycles. And the other thing that I was talking to Shelley about is if you look down, and this has happened to me, sometimes I feel like I'm at the same place. I have not grown at all. I'm still dealing with the same issues. But when I got the concept that spiritual growth is a spiral and not just a line, if I look straight down, it looks like I haven't moved. But if I was looking up, I'm up on the 16th story now. So that's the point I was trying to make, that maybe it feels like the same, but really there's a different layer that is being unfurled as we grow.
Interesting. Well, I said the whole idea of the spiral is that in education you have the spiraling curriculum. And one of the things that our staff has struggled with, we went from a very, probably my fault being double fire, leading my staff in a very sequential fashion and encouraged them to be sequential in their approach to curriculum delivery. We switched to a program that was very much a spiral. And that spiral was frustrating for us as a staff cluster for the same things you were describing on a spiritual plane, is that it was difficult to measure the progress. Mm-hmm. We were used, when it's sequential, it seems easier to measure progress in smaller increments. But when you're on the spiral, you keep revisiting those same concepts, obviously at a deeper and more advanced level, but it doesn't appear to be all of that different. You never know when mastery comes, because it's always the next round of the spiral, and that's very true in our spiritual life. Mastery never comes until we're in eternity. It's always just a level deeper, a level deeper.
Well, I'm thinking about a study I read with what they've learned about teaching children music, that rather than waiting until the child has mastered a section, they let them practice it for, I'm just making this up now, but say 3 days, and then they teach the new section before the child has mastered the old section. But what they found about the brain is that by taking them to the next level, it embeds the learning
of
the previous level. So it could be that that's also a principle of spirituality and also physics and musicality.
Interesting. And I was talking to Lori a little bit before, too, about the cycle of fate that you mentioned. And we all have different issues that we need to release, or different gifts or whatever. But let's talk about the issues that we need to release in so we can grow. If we release them once, that doesn't mean that it's going to go away forever. We might find ourselves dealing with the same issue years later. But
Days later or hours later.
Do you know if it's easier to release, does that mean you're growing? Or if it's harder to release, does that mean that you never release it in the first place?
I do not know the answer to that question. That was quite a question. Because sometimes the harder it is to release, the more the growth can be that takes place. And I do know that when things are easy, you're not necessarily at the level of mastery, because it could be that you're just, you know, playing chopsticks really, really well when God wants you to go on to the next level. Shelley, you're deep in thought.
Still thinking about the question, really. Very interesting comment.
not really sure what I'm thinking at the moment. So maybe someone else should just carry on. But I'll come back to me in a minute.
You have sent us into a spiral.
Speaking of the spiral, and I always have to bring the elements back into it. And as you're talking about that, you know, maybe there's not such a correlation between the difficulty of the release and the mastery of the issue, perhaps. But maybe perhaps there's an elemental correlation between the difficulty of the release and what your elements is. And I love the illustration you addressed right at the beginning of the chapter. You're talking about the rich young ruler, and you pointed out that he was really the only one that Jesus really admonished and specifically directed to release something. And you referred to the fact that perhaps that was because he put so much value in his earthly possessions. In other words, he had a vested interest. It was difficult for him to let go of that. Therefore, that was the very reason he needed to let go of those issues. He was specifically called to release. And just thinking of the elements, as I'm always kind of drawn to that, is there a correlation in the elements and the facility which with they release? And is it maybe easier for certain elements to release different things over others?
Well, we talked about this in the pre-show, and of course the easiest answer is that it's very easy for wind to release because we're natural releasers because we don't hang on to anything. It's our job to pass things along. And earth, it would seem that earth would be the hardest to release elementally because it tends to hang on to resources or guard them. But then, as we were talking, I said each element would have a hard time releasing for different reasons. Fires would have a hard time releasing control.
Hey.
The winds would have a hard time releasing the microphone. Waters would have a hard time releasing relationships.
Yeah.
And earths would have a harder time releasing perhaps
everything else.
All of the above. So one of the things that Elisa really does in her questions is she takes us deeper and deeper in layers and layers in the spiral. So the easy answer is winds, it's easy to release. Earth, hard to release. And yet, when you look at it, it's always the core value that makes it more challenging for us. And when I was thinking about Christ with Peter, and three times he said, "You will deny me." And three times he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" That's a learning spiral for Peter. He denied him three times within a short period of time, and Christ identified and addressed each one like with an opportunity for healing. So there's repetition in the gospel. There is going to the river seven times. There is, I looked up the number 12 the other day as I'm working on this material. 12 is all over the place. 12 steps, 12 tribes, you know, 12 gates. 12, what does that mean? Well, it means something. So there is repetition. And I love the mystery. I just want to address this. I love the mystery in Scripture and the mysticism in Scripture. And I was reading a blog. Someone was sort of critiquing Jesus' career counselor and said, well, it just set me off because she started off on a mystical basis talking about the elements. And I thought, you know, this guy would have a hard time with Christ describing himself as a gate or living water. The word grace is only mentioned one time. One time in all the Bible, and yet it is foundational for what we believe. Our whole belief system is based on mysticism. If Peter had not believed the dream of the unclean things coming, we would not be here today.
Right.
So to deny the mystical aspect of Christ or the mysticism that he represented is really to miss, I believe, the essence of the gospel. So I just had to say that in different perspective.
Well, and then take it another level when we're talking about we seem to be hanging on this spiral issue, but then how does that compare to how does the spiritual walk compare if it's a spiral, right? If the spiritual journey is a spiral activity and not linear, and if we slip off of the third spiral staircase, but we're still on the spiral, then what does that do to our theologies of people being in the circle or out of the circle?
Yeah.
You know, that's huge. And I don't that's probably a whole nother night of conversation on some other show, Lori Beth. But taking this back, you know, maybe to where we are in the book, I mean, that's a powerful conversation, what you just said as well with this person on the blog. And, wow, how could we miss the elemental nature of Christ or God in Scripture? I mean, it's everywhere.
1,969 times.
Beginning in Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation. So we know that that exists, and I guess that person just had a voice on a blog, right?
It was interesting.
Right. But help us here for a second tie this to careers and to jobs. So you're on the spiral career staircase, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if spiritual journey isn't linear, then what about our employment journey, our career journey? You know, this door opens, that door closes. Now I'm on the third spiral staircase. Oops, I just dropped down to the first one. Talk to us a little bit about how release and being obedient to that space helps our career, our job.
Well, I think that the rich young ruler, what he really had to release was his story about himself.
Mm.
In that culture, he had a story. He was a rich young ruler.
Right.
The other people that Jesus was dealing with, for the most part, had no story. I mean, they were shepherds. They didn't. Their identity was not driven necessarily with pride, but the rich young ruler, in order for him to gain the new identity in Christ, he needed to release the old false story that he had, which was based on illusion. And as I'm thinking about cycles and spiritual journeys, and I've been spending a lot of time with my mother at the Regency assisted living, and there are many people there. There's a woman there who's 104 years old, and I walk through the halls, and I look into the rooms, and I see a man that I know was a former judge, and he's doing needlepoint. And I see a woman sitting there holding a teddy bear, watching the TV, and it's the spot. We become more childlike on the journey. So is that linear? Are we in decline, or are we returning to a new birth in Christ? And so that's, you know, I've said before, my mother's releasing her senses and sensibilities into the next life. And so we're all in a stage of release. And I think that for me and what I've endured and, you know, gone through with the real estate crisis in the last 2 years, what I had to release was my own story about myself. So surrender and release sometimes are synonymous. When you say, Lord, I just don't know who I am. You tell me who I am. I hope your story is better than mine.
Sometimes our identity or our role gets wrapped up in that career change or in that transition on the spiralness of life. You want to speak to that a little bit, Lorda?
Well, yeah, we attach ourselves to things and images. And I keep thinking about that. Jesus said, tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it again.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get attached to the form of things.
Right. How about when he
disappeared from the tomb and Mary Magdalene goes and looks for him and she tries to hold him. And he's like, no, don't let go. I haven't been with my father. And I'm sure that was a tough message, but I'm sure that, you know, in hindsight, if I were Mary Magdalene and then look at what happened after that, that's when you understand that you're in the spiral, but you're not in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And the circumstances around you are not the same, and the impact that happened is not the same than what you just saw.
That is good, Vicki. That is very powerful. That it's a matter of perspective, is what I'm hearing you say, that what looks like one thing to Mary Magdalene is different because she's at a different point in the spiral. But God sees everything all at once, the past, the beginning, so that whole concept of time, the spiral is probably the closest that we can imagine,
mm-hmm.
but it's so inadequate to the omniscience of God.
Yeah. Also, another example is when Jesus is, they go up and the couple of apostles are with him,
and then they see the other prophets with Jesus. And they're like, oh, let's, yeah, the transfiguration. And then they're like, oh, let's build some things here and there. And this isn't right. No. And they just see and they, the other disappear. So it's in that spiral, like sometimes you're facing east, and that's where they're aware, but they're in the different layer, right?
Yeah.
And those are the dynamics that I love to see science fiction movies and like The Matrix and Inception and all those, and my mind goes to places that I'm scared about. It's like, oh my gosh, am I dreaming again?
Sometimes you frighten us too. I say what you're talking about, Vicki, is releasing our understanding of reality. You know, and so you think you're talking about movies like The Matrix and Inception, or even, as Lori was describing, just the idea of mysticism and its influence and really truly the development of the Christian doctrine, that it, they're different paradigms, and we get locked into a box of seeing that, and we build a box, and as the more time passes by, the higher we build the walls of the box, and the more we get locked into that box. And so maybe the highest call is to release the paradigm, because in releasing whatever paradigm we're locked into, be it the paradigm of our job description versus our mission, be it the paradigm of theology versus just Christ, following Christ, be it the paradigm, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm. religion,
religion mm-hmm. versus spirituality, you know, that's what we need to release, ultimately, to free ourselves in order to become who we've been called to be. And sometimes when we're stuck in the middle of it, we can't, like the rich young ruler coming back to him, he was stuck in the middle of his paradigm, of his wealth defining who his identity, mm-hmm. his belongings defining his identity. And it was something he pursued. Obviously, there was something in his spirit that was calling him beyond that, because he approached Christ. Christ didn't approach him. He approached Christ and asked Christ, what do I need?
And we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know if he came back later, because there were people, there were wealthy people supporting Christ. And it said, and Jesus loved him as he walked away. So isn't God amazing?
I can't help but think, you know, that you're wanting this material. Obviously, that one, out of this whole section on release, that piece kind of stuck out, and then also another piece about release your inner leader. Those were two kind of powerful places that I kind of sat with over the last week. But I also think that you've written this material, Lori, because you want people that are in transition to not stay
mm-hmm.
in transition.
Or to not fear transition, because we're all in transition.
Right. And so this whole place that people are finding themselves in, as you've indicated, you don't want to get stuck in the paradigm in the midst of mission.
Mm-hmm.
My role is my mission. My job is my mission. You know, my boss is my mission,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I, if you could speak to us a little bit about that impact that release has. I'm without a job, for example. You know, I've been without a job for 8 months. How much more can I release tonight?
Well, the faithfulness, sowing the seeds, that's every farmer knows the release. You release the seeds. Faith is the essence of release, is it not? I give you my sandwich. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here, God, you want it? You can have it. I give you my career. I give you my life, I give you my staff, I give you my school, I give you my time, I give you my energy. The transfiguration is going to occur, and maybe we see images there that we want to make an idol to, missing the essence of Christ who was standing in the center. You know, so I'm thinking of that verse. For me, the reward of virtue is to see your face and to gaze my fill on your likeness. That whoever wrote that wanted to behold the beloved, and that was the joy of everything. And as we were talking, it's always bothered me a little bit how we cast Jesus as being afraid to die. But I'm wondering if his tears were he didn't want to leave his team. Because in John 17, he's very specific. They were your gifts
and you gave them to me, and can they come with me? Were you with me? Will you not watch with me? And so, God, why have you forsaken me? That loneliness that he felt on the cross, I don't think it was the fear of death so much as having to go to a lonely place in order to be transformed. And if, as I believe about his personality, he was a wind water, that had to be the loneliest place of rejection for him. So I'm just pondering that as we're sitting here thinking about release. Christ had to release his friendships, his earthly friendships, and go to a new place. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And yet even still, he loved the people that he was with. So I just feel the Holy Spirit really present tonight. Good question.
You have to release. I used to be involved in youth ministry, and there was an illustration that they would use. And you would have to, they would take a glass, and they'd say, you know, it's kind of representative of your body, your vessel. This glass is the vessel of your body, of your spirit, of your soul. And if it's full, there's no room for what Christ offers. You have to release the contents of it in order to avail yourself to what Christ offers. And I think that's just true at every single level. Christ had to release in order to fulfill his mission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to release our job description, our paradigm, our anxiety, whatever it may be, our perception. We have to release that in order to avail ourselves to God in his direction and finding and fulfilling his mission for us.
And I know that we release good things, like the money and, you know, and we release bad things, like bad feelings, complex, or how about releasing blessings to others?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the greatest investment? Because I think if it's part of the water that you're saying. If we release that water, fresh water is going to come, and we're not going to get stagnant, and the more that we release that, the more that we receive. So releasing is, you can release great things, I think. It's not only releasing pains or...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's very true. Very true.
We just have a couple minutes, Lori Beth, to wrap up this evening, this concept of release. How to find and keep your perfect work as you increase your faith on a spiral journey and continue to release and move into the things that that God has designed for you. So in just a little over a minute here to wrap this up, Lori, give us your last closing thoughts this evening on release.
Well, I would like to challenge our listeners, including those in the studio, what to ask themselves this question: what is God calling me to release this week? What do I need to let go of?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to pour forth with? So, Shelley, what is God calling you to release?
Well,
I shouldn't have asked to fire Earth at wind.
Probably a lot of things right now. In particular, you know, just a lot of, there's a lot of stress right now around, you know, some growth opportunities and, you know, just to maybe release the stress and, you know, allow God to
sit back and enjoy your ride to the airport,
yeah,
as Shelley always
exactly.
says. Vicki, what is God calling you to release? One word.
One word. Sometimes.
That was easy. Elisa, what is God calling you to release?
Control.
Control. What is God calling me to release? More joy, lightheartedness. So listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our release. This is our one-year anniversary of the show, and we've gone from 0 to 10,000 listeners. Well, there were 4 listeners. There was us when we started. So Shelley has released this program, and we've been faithful and have enjoyed it, and I think we've been blessed in doing it, and we pray that you too have been blessed, and who knows where the spiral will lead us a year from now. Amen. Blessings to you. Go forth and release good and joy.
Thank
Amen.
You for that. Thank you.
Thank you.